Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We're in Acts, the 20th chapter today. And we want to talk about Paul leaving Troas and actually saying farewell to Ephesus. Let's begin in verse 17 of Acts 20, reading from the New American Standard Bible. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how that I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how that I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will no longer see my face. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship." How bittersweet it is when we leave those whom we love and we take our leave from them and journey. How much more so it should be with Paul when he knows that his end on earth is coming. It is more near that now than it was before. And these dear brethren that he loves so much, that he wants to be in heaven together with forever, as long as with anyone else who will obey the gospel and remain faithful and not depart from the gospel. So it is that the tears were shed. Paul had an opportunity on this occasion. He was not a robot sent from God that would do no sin. No, Paul made mistakes, just as Peter made different types of mistakes. Galatians 2 and verse 11. Paul had a struggle with sin, as we all do, because as long as we are in this temporal body, the flesh, we will be tempted. Even as Christ was tempted in all points like as me, with the lust of the eye the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The question is, when we are tempted, what do we do? Do we have our umbrella or our hat on that says, pleasing God today? Pleasing God in times of both ease and in hard times? If we live under that mantra, if we love, if we are motivated by love for God, if the gas in our tank that drives our engine is good fuel, not bad gas, then the car will run as it's intended to run. God created us good. We, like lost sheep, have gone astray. Now, we are created good and upright. We're not created sinful. We're not born into this world sinful. No, babies are pure. Babies, if they die, are going to be saved forever. Oh, yes, we are human. And we can be tempted with things such as the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Paul had a free will choice on this occasion. This is hard. The Holy Spirit's even telling me I'm going to go someplace where I can be persecuted for the gospel. I left Judaism, being a Hebrew of Hebrews and a wonderful teacher and adherent to that faith. Hey, and Paul has got his hat on. He's got his umbrella, if you will, that says pleasing God today and every day until I die. That should be your mantra and my mantra. If it's not, we need to get ourselves in line. Oh, Mark, you're retired. You don't have to worry about a job. You don't have to worry about these interactions. There are temptations for children in school. There are temptations for children in the home. Disobey your parents. Come do this. They'll never find out. There are problems and temptations for teenagers to do wrong. High school, junior high, middle school, take it up to college, take it into the workplace. And yes, take it to those who are retired because they may have more free time than they are used to. We all have to redeem the time. We all have to deal with the temptations that come our way. There's even peer pressure for those who are 75, 85 years old, from those that are in their peer group that are still alive to do those things that are wrong. Someone has said, and it may be true, and I'll leave it at that, that it was reported that there are more cases of STDs in nursing homes than ever before. Why? Well, by sheer number, the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 64, are aging into the nursing home category. Doesn't make it right, but many will be lost. Many sin. Many do not wake up every day wanting to be pleasing to God. Many are not applying the biblical principles to their life. And yes, there's some good people out there, yea, even religious like a Cornelius, but they are not yet Christians. There's much work that we can do to ourselves and then to help others and in churches, in local congregations that are still teaching error, that continue to practice worship activities that are wrong. Well, we don't have idols, Mark. We don't have prostitutes in our congregations. Look at what was mentioned in the Bible. There's all manner of sin in the Bible. And it was sinful to preach the baptism of John the Baptist after the baptism of Christ was in effect. Acts 18 and 19. And Aquila and Priscilla were too good, a brother and sister in Christ, to those that are in Christ, and came and taught Apollos the way of the Lord. And he repented and began to teach that which was the truth. Sin was committed by him. And some sin is greater. We'll not go into that today. He hath the greater sin. Some is more egregious. Some have more physical, temporal consequences on this earth than others. But all sin can damn our soul. And by the precious blood of Christ, by the grace of God, by using repentance, confession, and prayer properly for the Christians who've done wrong, and for those who are not yet truly Christians, to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once we have, if we are teachers, we need to be like Paul, that we will go forward and not shrink back to declare the whole counsel of God and anything that is needful and profitable. Yeah, I need to preach on this thing, but it's a hot potato. It's a current event. And I know there's a lot of this and this going on, A and B, C, and doctrine and people doing this. I'm convicted. If somebody comes up and asks me if it's right or wrong, I'll tell them. Is that what Paul was saying here? Is that what Paul was saying? Is that what he did as he traveled about? If somebody asked him a Bible question now, he'd tell them what was right and wrong, but he wasn't going to bring it up, or he wasn't going to preach it from the pulpit, or he wasn't going to teach in other manners from house to house. Paul was to cover the whole counsel of God. Now, you've got to cover a lot. We can read the New Testament in approximately 14 hours, it's been said, if we read it at a regular pace. I'm finding out now by a test, how long does it take to read the King James Version at a fairly rapid pace? And I'll give you the stats on that as I complete that task, Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come again or I don't pass. Notice the opportunity that Paul had on this occasion to give up. Well, Paul wasn't going to give up. Paul's one of my heroes. Well, Michael Jordan might be one of your heroes. Tiger Woods, if you're a golfer, might be one of your heroes. But do not think above men and women that which is correct. It's correct to give honor to whom honor. What a basketball player Michael Jordan was. It's fine to give honor where honor is due. Tiger Woods in a golf club in his hand. And I believe to come, Lord willing, his little son Charlie. Going to make a great golfer if things continue in that vein. Paul, human just like you and I, flesh and blood, tempted in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, choosing rather to avoid as much sin as possible, correct sin in his life when it comes up and he falls, and continue in the path in the face of persecution until up to and including the day of his death, like Stephen's example at the end of Acts 7, so that he hear those words in the final day, Lord knows you by name, that's great, and enter in unto the joys of the Lord. Yes, Paul did not shrink back, verse 27 of Acts 20, from declaring the whole counsel of God. What does that mean? It means if we're not preaching all the doctrine of Christ, all the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're preaching a diluted way to become a Christian, leaving something out, or an extended, going beyond, as in Acts 15, some were saying, oh, you got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized with the baptism of the Great Commission, but you've also, Gentiles, y'all, wait a minute now, you can't stop there and say you're Christian. You're going to have to do more. You're going to have to become circumcised according to the law of Moses, or you can't be saved. That was wrong. If we add to or take away from the Word of God, we have done injustice. We have done more than just the truth. We have just crossed over a line and begun to teach and practice error. Oh, it's serious. We're talking about eternal consequences here, aren't we? We'll leave with Revelation chapter 22, around verses 18 and 19, as we close our study today. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, verse 17, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Are we ready? Oh, I need work. I'm still a work in progress, and I'm sure you are too if you're honest with yourself. But we can be the best we can be today, and then tomorrow, and the day after that, in order to be well-pleasing in God's sight. Take care, and until tomorrow, we bid you a pleasant good day.